thou, O great mountain. Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
Glory to God. Amen to Jesus. Halabo shakarize fushakata. I have a message prepared here, but I'm going to go in another direction that the Spirit of God is leading me right now. I'm just going to speak to us on how to be fulfilled when it comes to your dreams, your aspirations, your career, your business, the works of your hands. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's open our Bibles there. Deuteronomy chapter 8. When you have your message prepared and then the Spirit of God says, take another direction, you have to obey. It means there are people here who are in need of that particular message. Oh, glory to God. Lakagrinde pusha fekaka hususmisha. Indenende shusminte frekakika. Beginning from verse 1, I want you to follow me. The Bible says, all the commandments which I commanded this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in your heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. The first time I read this scripture, God led them in the wilderness for 40 years to prove them, to see what is in their heart. So sometimes when you are going through wilderness experience, especially as it concerns your finances, it's not necessarily the devil. It's not the devil that led them into the wilderness. It's God. God led them into wilderness. Wilderness is a dry place, a place of insignificance. David was anointed at the age of 17. He couldn't sit on the throne until he was 30. 13 years of wilderness experience. Joseph was shown that a dream, a glorious dream as a teenager. He couldn't do nothing until he was 30. God leads into the wilderness. When you're going through some situations and you're binding the devil and binding the devil and binding the devil and he refuses to be bound, and it's not the devil, probably it's God. Because God cannot place you until he tries you. If God places you without trying you, that glory will kill you, literally. That is why people that win lottery, they don't last. Go and check out. Somebody wins $10 million in lottery. Check the person out in 2 or 3 years. He's lost everything. Because he didn't grow into that prosperity. He just came. And he couldn't handle it. So God leads you through wilderness to mature for your faith muscles to come alive. You think God couldn't give you, God can't give you a car right now? You think God can't give you a jet right now? It doesn't cost him anything to give you a jet, but that jet can kill you. Where will you park it? Do you know how much it is to park a jet for 1 hour? 1 hour. Thousands of dollars. Literally. But God can give you, it doesn't cost him anything. He owns all those things. It won't cost him a blink of an eye to give you. But you see, you have to grow into it. Because if he places you without trying you, that glory, the Bible says the prosperity of fools will destroy them. It will destroy them. They will die in it, literally. And so some of those things you've been asking God for, and it looks as if the answers are not coming, maybe you are just not ready. Oh Lord, where is my wife? You've been praying for 5 years for a wife. No wife is coming. Maybe you still need to eat indomie for a while. And eat at a restaurant for a while, because if that wife comes, you can beat her up. So God will prove you, try you, mature you, train you, teach you. Are you with me? God doesn't place until he tries. Adam was a full grown man. Church history tells us that Adam was a big, lanky, hunky man. He was somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 feet to 8 feet tall, like a giant. When he stands before God in all his glory in the Eden, he was a big, hefty man standing. See, it was sin that reduced you to this height. Hello, somebody. As sin came, a lot of things happened. That's why in the Old Testament, those guys lived up to 900 years. Can you imagine it? 900. And they are still strong. They still do farming. Go to war at the age of 850 years. Right now, when somebody's 60s already, they're like, because of our diet, our sin, all kind of rubbish. You know, if you go and read the book of Leviticus, it tells you not to eat certain things. Right? All of those things we are eating right now. And it's killing a lot of people. The lifespan has reduced to 70. Think about it. Man was created to be eternal before, originally. He was not going to die. Sin messed it up. And then you see Methuselah living up to 969 years. What? Hello, somebody. Those guys will stop doing birthday parties. How many will they do? Hallelujah to Jesus. Imagine somebody talking, 450 years ago, I was in this town. Ha! Those were the kind of people that lived in those times. But sin has brought us to this level. And because there are so many distractions, God has to try your heart. Somebody says, but God already knows my heart. Yes, he knows, but he will try it at the same time. That's why I told Abraham, I want you to go and offer your only son. Offer him as a burnt offering. God knows his heart. That Abraham would do it because God is omniscient. He knows everything. But he wants to see Abraham act it. So you see, if you're asking God for something right now and you're not getting it, guess what? Not that God can't give you, because some of you are like, I'm not in any sin. I'm not doing anything bad. Guess what? Your heart. Maybe your heart is just not ready to handle that level of increase or promotion or prosperity. Think about it. In the kingdom of God, what we need mostly to advance this world is money. Don't you think so? This message I'm preaching right now, I could as well be in over 200 television stations this morning, and 50 million people can be listening at the same time, while just a few hundreds are listening here. It brings more impact. But for me to be on 100, 200 television stations requires what? Money. So the question is, why can't God just bring the money? For you. See, by the time all of you are multi-billionaires, it's so easy. I just say, this money I'm going to need like 10 billion naira. I just need 10 people. I don't need too many people, you know. Don't rush. Just 10 of you. And so 10 people comes and say, okay, 1 billion each. And then it's so easy. Life is not stressful. So how come God hasn't prospered us like that? Heart. Some of you can't even handle 1 million naira. You are going to faint. Some of you won't come to church again. You go and buy iPhone 8. Say, I can watch service online. So that's why the phone will never come. Because God knows the phone will kill you and lead you to hell. So no matter how you pray, oh God, iPhone 8, iPhone 8, S9, S9. God will just look at you. Since no evil will befall my children, I can't put evil on you. Because that phone has become evil at that point in time. Is somebody with me? Tough love. That's what it is. God knows you need that thing. But God knows you are not ready to handle it. Some of you have terrible anger problem. God knows you are not ready for marriage. You can stab your husband. So because they leave out. Let her learn. Angel, organize every man out of his life. As they are coming after 1 month, let them run away. She's not ready. A potential wife beater, you can't handle any small thing, you're angry. You want to beat all your junior sisters at home. The way you beat your junior sister is the way you beat your wife. I say, no, my wife will be special, I won't beat her. If you are a junior sister beater here, God will help you. Are you with me? So God will test your heart before he places you. So that you won't beat your wife at home. What? You're a useless wife! And then from there, you climb the pulpit. Everybody's everywhere, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. And then, he can't walk like that. So God led them into the wilderness. God, who? If you like, bind the spirit of poverty to life. It's your heart that needs to be bound from foolishness. Say, God, give me wisdom. Help me. And that's why we come to church. Because the more of the word you hear, the more your heart, your mind is renewed. A renewed mind will cooperate with God the more. A carnal mind will refuse to cooperate with God. And so, you don't know that sleeping with your girlfriend is a sin. And you go to church. In fact, they give back to you inside church. You have done water baptism. You have done confirmation. You've done everything. But you don't know. So you come to church. And then you hear it's a sin. Oh, it's a sin. See, your mind is being renewed. Then you get to a point. You say, I am not going to do that again. Then God says he's ready for the next level. If you keep on messing around doing all kind of stuff that are unscriptural, do you know what you're going to do? No matter how glorious your destiny is, you're going to be on one spot. You won't move. You won't move. Say, because you are the fellowship president, you are not sleeping with a member. You will stop your life. It's like applying brakes on your destiny. Say, God, I'm not ready to move forward from here. Stop me. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? Okay, so let's take a look at that. So all these things I'm telling you, I didn't prepare the message for you. Just know there's the Spirit of God speaking to you. And so verse 2 says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. Let me tell you, neighbor, you better be humble. A proud man, proud woman can't be used of God. Because you lay hands on one person and the person was healed of headache, you walk like this. as if you have a permanent shoulder pad. It's a man of God. Ha. No. There was one guy, anointed guy, who was my secondary school friend. Got to the university. Raised a fellowship of 3,000 people in the 90s. We became proud. When he's walking, 3-4 ladies will follow him, carrying his bag, carrying his this, carrying his books. He was a student. 4 ladies, carrying bag, carrying suit, carrying shoe. Became proud. And then he has this habit of eating in sister's house. And then they cook for you after the word has been dished. Then pounded yam will be dished in different houses until he was poisoned. And he died. Died. You never see me eat in a sister's house. If I eat, maybe I came for your birthday and you distribute cable, then I come to a single sister's house and say, yeah. I'm a very disciplined person. As a single, never. I never did it. Is somebody with me? All this one that you are eating all over the place. Say, tell the timetable, call in, Sister Sube. I say, I don't cook, I don't cook. So how do you eat? Kill our sister Wafu. Their destiny is to cook. They just cook. My own destiny is to eat. May you not eat your destiny away. Tikun ready. Iku mo gbe nkan to ma pa awon lohun je. Eh gbo proverb yoba. Eh mo we. Hello somebody. You have to be disciplined. If you are not disciplined, how do you want to get to that place of glory? You are eating all over the place. Is somebody with me? That guy was given a poison. He died. Cut off in the midst of his days. Anointed, but careless. Careless. So let me tell you, neighbor, be humble. How many of you are humble in this place? Let me see. I hope you won't make that mistake. At the moment you say you are humble, then you are proud of your humility. You don't get it? You say, I know I'm a humble person. I know. How do you know? You just became proud of your humility. All right, take a look. It says in verse 3, and he humbled thee, because if you are not humbled before he places you, it's going to be a problem. And he suffered thee to hunger. Come on. Did you see that? He suffered thee to what? And then he fed thee with manna. See, so that hunger is not to kill you, really. He suffered you to hunger so that you can have an appetite for the manna. Because if you are not hungry in that sense, it may manna. Because that manna is just like a flaky white stuff. But that was what those guys ate, and none of them fell sick when they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Nobody fell ill. Their shoe grew with their legs. It adjusted. The miracles that happened in that wilderness, I'm not sure anybody will be able to finish documenting it. It was crazy. God manifested himself like no man's business. Water came out of the rock. God will appear like a cloud. Like a cloud in the day, so that the sun, the heat of the sun in the wilderness will not stench them. And then in the night, it will come like to lighten their path and to show them where they are going. It was a marvelous experience. During the day, when you think the heat of the sun is going to kill them, God will just come like a cloud and overshadow them. Give them supernatural air condition in the wilderness. When it's night, when it's so dark, it comes like a pillar of fire and it was around them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the Bible says, He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man does not live by bread only, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord will man live. Your life, your living, your existence will be dependent upon the word that proceeds. It's not the food you are eating. So every day, every time, every week, the question is always, what is the word of the Lord that you are running with? Before you say yes to that guy, did God speak to you? What did God say? Before you proposed to that lady, what did God say? Before you took that job, what did God say to you? Every process of the way, you listen to what God says. When Dunamis wanted to fill his jam stuff, there were so many options, so many universities shouting, crying at him. He did well in the school. But I had to go and pray, God, what are you saying? Where should he be? Where should he go? That's the way you do it. Because one of the life-changing experiences or life-changing season of a man's life is in the university. Believe you me. For example, I met my wife when I was in university. What if I've gone to another place? It's not likely that she will be my wife today. And if she's not, what if I married the wrong person? Do you think I'll be able to do ministry like this? This woman is enabling me to do ministry. And if you think, which woman will not allow me to do ministry? Which woman? You don't know the power of women. They don't talk much. They don't. What? Hello, somebody. A wrong marriage, your life can be out of order for the next 50 years. Your classmates will see and say, what went wrong with you? Say, I don't know. Me too, I don't know. How you are more, you are sharper than this. Me too, I don't know. It's wrong marriage. And this is what you need to understand. Somebody can be born again, look good, good person, but he's not the right person. It doesn't mean that if he is good or if she is good, then he's right. What you need to know is to say, Lord, show me. Because when it comes to issue of marriage, you can't play Ludo and dice there. You say, Mr. Zerubbabel, Mr. Fatai, Mr. Alexandra, Lord, I've brought to you three bones of their bones. Lord, which bone should I bone myself with? No, that's not how to do it. Tete Lufetai. It's somebody with me. You pray and you listen to God. I'm so persuaded that if I had married the wrong person, I wouldn't be in ministry today. I'm sure. Because my path, my journey in ministry, it takes a very understanding woman to be with me. An impatient woman can't be with me. Pastor. She ain't my dear. Is that what we put food on the table? When I got married with 1,000 naira per month salary. How many women will follow a man like that? Say, brother, come. I didn't say God has not spoken to you, but as you see me, I've suffered before in my life. To now suffer part two, God is not leading me. And that could be a problem for a lot of ladies. Listen to God. Stop looking at pockets. Because there could be a rich man on his way to being broke and a broke man on his way to being rich. Look for direction. Test the heart. If the heart is right, that man will be rich. He will be wealthy. If the heart is wrong, even if he has 5 cars now and 10 houses, he will lose everything. That's what the scripture says. And then after marriage, you discover that everything is not about money. There are rich wives who are frustrated and sleeping with their drivers. There are rich wives who are on drugs because of emptiness. They have millions in their accounts, but they say to hell with the money. So Christ has to be at the center. It's somebody with me this morning. I don't know why I'm talking along this line. These are things I didn't prepare. Are you with me? If God led you to that man, don't fight him, don't fight her. Or led you to that woman, join your hands together and walk together. You will succeed. You will be wealthy. Unless God didn't lead you. No, if you led yourself, then you take care of yourself. You know, some are sent, some went. It's two different things. Some are called, some is empty in the heart. They say, me too, I receive call, but it's from MTN and it is a lot. Hello, somebody. There's two different things entirely. But if God has led you to a particular person, be patient. God is so wise that you can't be smarter than him. It is only God that knows the person that will love you now and will still love you in another 50 years. What you know is the person that you think, not that you know, you think loves you. He's so nice. If you look at his fingers, you know he's nice. Those same fingers can slap. I can't tell you how many calls I've received. Oh, Pastor, I can't believe. What can't you believe? Are you not born again? Believe in Jesus. I say, Pastor, you can't believe. He slapped me. And you see, the person that will slap you, by observation, when you are dating, you should know. You should be. Don't let love blind your eyes. You should know the mannerisms, the responses, the way the person talks. What if one point? If he batty don't love you, watch the way he kills mosquito. Mosquito patches on it. Ah! Yeah! So the day you mistakenly suck his blood, you are finished. Also, Kimosito, you carry hammer. Learn to observe. The person that will beat you in marriage, if he starts off when, hey, come, milk, baba, kuba. Say, you know, dear now, dear. Ah, what is funny? First line. Is somebody with me? One man and woman were in the car. They were just married. And the wife asked the man, he said, how come nobody argues with you? The man said, well, the first person that argued with me, I shot him. The second person that argued with me, I strangled him. That was the last conversation between the husband and the wife. Because suddenly the wife does not know the definition of argument again. If I talk, is it argument? Let me keep quiet. All right. Look at verse 3. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Verse 4. Thy raiment was not old upon thee. Can you see that? It was that manna he provided. Their clothes for 40 years did not grow old, did not tear. Do you understand that? Thy raiment was not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. That the leg increased and then the shoe did not size them. Either the shoe was increasing alongside with the leg, or the leg was adjusting to the shoe. One of the two happened. And then look at verse 5. Thou shalt consider in your heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Verse 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Come on, say amen. Amen. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat. I can hear your amen. Amen. These are powerful prophetic prayers. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive, and a land of honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. That shall be your portion in the name of Jesus. You will eat bread without scarceness. What it means is that everything you need to eat that satisfies your mouth will be available. You won't have to search for it, look for it. You won't have to look for money to buy food. No. You will eat bread without scarceness. Come on, say amen. Amen. Then it says, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Hallelujah. Now, don't say amen again. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he had given thee. Verse 11. Beware. Come on, say beware. That thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I commanded this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and you have built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when your herds and thy flock multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and then what thou hast is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and droughts, where there was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that it might humble thee and that it might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end? And thou shalt say in your heart, my power and my might of mine had gotten me this wealth. Did you see why God led them to the wilderness? He doesn't want them for prosperity to be thrust upon them instantly. Because when it comes like that, they simply forget about God. Do you know most of the music stars we have in the world, not just in Nigeria today, do you know they started from church? They were first of all in choir, from Whitney Houston to all of them. First of all, in church choir. That was where their talents were groomed. That was when they were discovered. But now when fame came, they forgot about God. This is what God is saying here. That you as a child of God, that your destiny is glorious, no doubt. That I'm taking you to a beautiful place, no doubt. That you're going to be wealthy, no doubt. But it can't come instantly. Because if it comes instantly, it can kill you. I don't want to lose you. This is God speaking. I don't want to lose you because of prosperity. I don't want to lose you because of wealth. So I will lead you. I will lead you. I will lead you. I will lead you. I started this church having been in ministry I pastored for 12 years. Calculate it. I pastored two different churches for 12 years. And then for 8 years, I was building KHC site. 8 plus 12. 20 years. So it was after 20 years that God released me to start this place, to start this church. This church started last year. God will lead you. He will lead you to test what is in your heart and to check out whether the gloriousness of your destiny can be handled by you. Let me tell you something. The more glorious your future, the more intense the tests and the trials that you have to pass through. The more glorious, the more intense. So sometimes when you're, Lord, why is my life like this? It's because of the glory. So you stay with God. Because God can lead you round, but he can't lead you wrong. And he's leading you right to make your heart right. Because if your heart is not right, that same grace, glory, anointing will kill you. It will. You heard about many people who have churches, pastors fall down, just die. You know why? They suddenly discovered there's a gift. Then the next thing is to start a church, but there's no character to sustain the gift. So because the gift is there, people will come and then to take advantage of the young girls and sleep with them. It's not going to work that way. So God will first of all lead you and lead you. And why God is leading you around is to fine-tune your heart. If you are not disciplined, how do you want to fulfill ministry? How do you want to become great in life? How will God give you that company and you become a CEO? When in your heart, if you become a CEO today, all the girls in that organization that are under you, they are finished. They will be aborting one by one for you. So God won't give you the company. You wait. Say, that company will kill this man. Leave him. Let him suffer. Let him hunger the more. Let him appreciate manna, daily food. Let him learn to look up to the word of God. Let him learn to live by the word. Release that prosperity in stages, in bits. If he needs 20,000, give him 10. He's not ready yet. Is somebody with me? You see, it is this patience that a lot of people don't have that they say, look, if God can be my Jehovah Jireh, I know one sugar daddy there. Let him be my Jehovah Jireh. And the sugar daddy will further mess up your destiny. You won't be able to fulfill God's purpose for your life. The earlier you sit right, the better. Things may look so hard, so difficult right now, despite your serving God and your passion for him. Listen to me. It's a story that is being developed. Without that story, it won't be sweet. You say, hello, brother. How did you become wealthy? See, I just woke up one day, and then somebody gave me 200 million. He said, that's all. Good news story. But when he said, all right, I went through this stage. I had to walk here. I had to go through this. That's when it becomes beautiful. And that is when God is appreciated more in your life. And that is when you also, you don't lose what God has given you so easily. Because you know where you are coming from. You have tasted poverty. You have used charcoal to brush your teeth before. The second dimension of it is when you now see somebody suffering, you don't say, you don't have faith. It's nonsense. Go and use your faith. You know that it's not because he doesn't have faith. It might be a project in the hand of the Lord that God is working on. So after you pray for him, if God has blessed you, also give other people. Take this. Go and take care of yourself. Is somebody with me? You don't look down on people in a condescending way and say, this one. Yeah. How many hours did you pray yesterday? He says 1 hour, rubbish. Go and be praying 6 hours. You can pray for 13 hours every day and still be very hungry. I hope you know that. And be seriously hungry. Now look at the next verse in verse 18. As I begin to round up. It says, but thou shall remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee, what? Power to get wealth. There are a lot of things in this verse. The first thing, you must remember the Lord your God. you mustn't forget God. Come on, say one. The second thing is the one that giveth the power to get wealth. Come on, say God is the one. All right. The next thing is that there is power to get wealth. He's the one. It's just like saying, come, Minister Sylvester. It's just like saying, this is the power to get wealth. Inside this handkerchief is $100 billion. Is the power. So God is the one that gives. Meaning that if he doesn't have it, he can just be playing around with a few millions, but that's not really wealth. He's the one that giveth thee. Do you understand? Now, when he gives you and you have it, poverty has lost its hold upon your life, including your generation, because you will know how to pass that power to your children and your children's children. However, if you consider, if the man is not of God, he may lack the capacity to pass it. See, his father used to be rich, but he doesn't have anything. Is somebody with me? So there is power to get wealth. Now look at the next statement, and this is where I'm rounding up. Let's read it. Is it on the slide? It's not. Okay, he said, that he may establish his covenant, which is well unto your fathers. So, we see that there is a purpose for the power to get wealth. The power to get wealth is not for funfare. Are you with me? It's not to show your friends. It's not to show them in your village that, Magba, all those my uncles, that said I will never make it, I'm going to build the largest house in our village. They will know that I've arrived. That's not what the power of wealth is. He says that he may establish his covenant. What's his covenant? He's talking about the advancement of the gospel. Now listen very carefully. When you pay your tithe and you give your offering, where do you think the money goes? You think God comes down to take the money? No. The money is used in a church office to pay staff salaries, to buy fuel, to repair things. Is somebody with me? That's what the money is used for. To print handbills, to do billboards. We can do 100 billboards in the city of Ibadan if you want to. All it requires is what? Money. Nobody's going to stop you. If I want to put billboards in every junction in the city of Ibadan, the government will say, what's your problem? It's my money. Are you here with me? Now, he wants to establish his covenant, which is advancement of the gospel. And the advancement of gospel is not just you go to the road, you start preaching. No, it has gone beyond that. Number one, you think about the media, the print media, the broadcast media, and then the cyber media on the internet. So, if I want everybody in the city of Ibadan to be aware of Shadow Grace Center, it will only cost me money. I put on Facebook, there's Facebook advert, and I do $100 per day. Everybody will know about Shout of Grace. When they go on Facebook, Shout of Grace. It costs money. Have you seen some post on Facebook, they put sponsored. Those people are spending money. Every time you see, they are spending money. It's somebody with me. On our Facebook page, because we wanted to have a lot of exposure, years back, when we were less than 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, I was doing Facebook at $10 at a time, sometimes 20, 30. And over time, I went to check, but Facebook will tell you how much you have spent so far. I saw 1,800. I said, I gave you. I wish I can collect this money back. But our Facebook page has over 135,000 fans, meaning that we can reach more people. You write something, you are reaching thousands of people at a time.
because people are living on the social media right now. Social media is more effective than knocking on people's doors. On Facebook, I can target the city of Ibadan alone. You can target Abuja alone. You want to do a meeting? That's how precise it has become. They are working on WhatsApp advert very soon. They are working on it presently. I can do adverts on WhatsApp. And you know, almost everybody is on WhatsApp. All those things cost what? Money. You say, what are they even using money to do in church them? That's what they're using for. To establish his covenant. Why are we not on television now? We need money. Hello, somebody. Some of these stations in Lagos, to be on television for 30 minutes will cost you about half a million for a few episodes. Half a million naira. Are you with me? But then, even before you get there, you need to buy gadgets, cameras. For example, we want to get cameras that we need for our television outreaches. We need up to 1.5 to 2 million naira to buy 2-3 cameras that will be useful for the television. Is somebody with me? It costs money. The question is, where will that money come from? Does God rain down dollars from heaven? No. Will God appear or an angel appear and say, my son, I know you are doing a lot of work here. You are doing the work of God. Take this money. No. Where will it come from? It's from you. How will it come from you? God will bless you and give you the power to get wealth. Well, how will God give you the power to get wealth? Your heart must be right. And so when you are still struggling with paying tithes, you are not ready for this thing we are talking about. I say, I don't have much. How can I give 10%? You are not ready. What you are saying is that you don't want to fit into the plan of God in this last time. And the problem with this is that if you don't do it, somebody else will do it. Because the work of God has to go on. Do you think God can bless some one of you or two of you here, and then you bring a tithe, just a tithe, and that tithe will buy all the air conditioners here? Somebody comes with a religious mind. Why would they use those millions to buy air conditioners when souls are perishing? But when you go to a restaurant or an hotel, you lodge in an hotel to pass the night, and they don't switch on the AC for you, what do you say? You complain. That's how some people complain in church. They just don't tell you. That's how some people will say, church, you need to see. So if we put ACs here today, make everything more beautiful, some people will come without evangelism, because throughout the week that's the only opportunity for them to have AC on their body. Hello, somebody. So you must see yourself as an ambassador of God to propagate his gospel and to advance his work. Listen to me. When you get this understanding, God will give you the power to get wealth. The power to get wealth is not you leaving school and working. That's what I'm talking about. It's beyond all of that. I'm talking of anything your hand touches, it just succeeds. Because God has proven your heart, and he sees in your heart that this person is ready to support my work. If God knows that whatever he gives you will not be consumed upon your own lust, he will bless you. He will just bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Because God wants his work to advance. Most of the time, the problem is God is looking for the right person. But most people, if they have that money, you may not see them in church again. Before the breakthrough, they are in church. Every prayer meeting they attend, Lord, I need a job. Oh, Lord, how can I? And then they get it. find them again. You say, Pastor, you know, this job takes me away, you know. You know, Pastor, don't worry, Pastor. I'll send something to you this week. As if the pastor is hungry. Don't worry, Pastor. You will hear me this week. You will hear me. Let God hear you. Am I talking to somebody? Have that perspective in your heart. Renew your heart. And be a giver. Don't come to church carelessly without a seed in your hand for offering. That's a careless believer. If you don't have anything to give, it's another thing entirely. But you come to church, you didn't give offering, and then you go to that Neptune, whatever they just opened, and you order for 900 naira plate of rice. Or you even gave offering, but it's 50 naira. See, this one is enough for God. What does God need money for? Ashe Junior Aya. And go and sit down. You fill your belly with good money. It's what they call poverty mentality. That's what you call spirit of poverty. It's the spirit of poverty that pushes 1,000 down. Say, babe, wait, 1,000, you might go by me. Get out. Where is the 100 naira? Poverty. Is somebody with me? And you must outgrow that if God will bless you. Must have a change of heart when it comes to giving. When they say this thing is needed in church, don't run away, be there. That's how you prosper. Some of you still don't get it, but that's how you prosper. I'm telling you right now, be a crazy giver, you'll be a crazy harvester. If the seed does not go to the ground, the Bible says, except a corn of wheat falls down and die, it abideth alone. But if your seed is on the ground, come on. You can challenge God like David did. Say, remember my offerings, O Lord. There are many blessings that are hanging. The pastor has prophesied all he can prophesy over your life. And the blessings have been released, but they are hanging. Because there is no seed in the ground to cooperate with that measure of blessing that is coming. So the blessing remains suspended because that law cannot be broken. Law of seed, time, and harvest. That is why sometimes you give a particular amount sacrificially and in less than 3-4 hours or the following day, something big happens. You say, yay! See, those blessings have always been hanging, following you around like a cloud. But there's no cooperation from the ground with that blessing, so the blessing remains suspended. It was Archbishop Benson Dowser that said, the blessing that God has released but man refuses to receive remains suspended. How do you cooperate with God? You cooperate with your seed. When your seed goes to the ground, that seed has a voice. That seed will cry to God and say, this has to be released right now. Understand that principle. When Jesus was released as a seed, God gave his only son that he might have many sons back to him. Seed time and harvest. Abraham gave his only son. So God gave the whole world his only son. Seed time and harvest. God told Abraham, because you have not withheld your son, your only son, therefore I will not withhold my son. And gave us Jesus. When God released Jesus, it was his only son that he gave. But now many sons have been returned back to God. For God so loved the world that he gave. For you so loved God that you what? You give. He that scattereth increaseth. But he that withholdeth more than his meat tendeth to poverty. When your hands are like this, it is not open to receive anything from God. Discard this poverty mentality. Some of you grew up with them in some churches. They give you offering, you spend it, and you are still doing the same thing till now. You don't pay tithe. You say, should student pay tithe? Should student be blessed? That's the question. You honor God with your seed, the heavens open. Is somebody with me? Before we started this church, I've told you many times, I emptied the account. I emptied it. I wrote checks to Bishop Wadeoke, because he's a gatekeeper of this city. He has done 100 times what we're trying to do. So you sow. Now, poverty mentality will say, does he need money? He has money now. He will only need the one now. But it doesn't work that way. When you give to God, the grace and the enablement with which he has done what he has done comes for you, added to your own grace, and makes it easy to do what you want to do. Are you here with me? Seed time and harvest will always work. As a result of emptying our accounts at that time and releasing the seed unto God, as it were, as a result of instruction, somebody looked at us and gave us this tent that is worth 90 million naira. How much will I have saved to buy that? Seed. I'm trying to tell you this morning that you can get anything you want to get from God by your seed. Understand that. For it is the Lord that giveth thee the power to get well. Stop struggling with tithe. Stop struggling with first fruit. Stop reading useless articles online about tithing and justifying yourself of poverty mentality. Stop justifying yourself. Learn to release and to let go. Stand up on your feet this morning. Gather close. Now just one prayer. Say, Lord, help me.
Lord, help me.
Help me.
Lord, help me.
To be a giver. Give me the power to get wealth.
Give me the power to get wealth.
And I will advance your kingdom. Say with me, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive God's help.
I receive God's help.
To be a giver.
Be a giver.
Lord.
Lord.
Give me.
Give me.
The power.
The power.
To get wealth.
To get wealth.
That I may,
advance
your kingdom. Go ahead and pray.
Le produce pratica la barbushi verba, roboto soproshi pana babana baba, roboto coto procoto sopata prata 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 prata, ridusha ta la pretu vedusi bibu, in japala baba barra pusi bibi, ekeke.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at KHC Event Center, Joker Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.